You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
In Ephesians 3, if you would turn there, I want to continue on that vein on praying. You know, and I've quoted this. This is Blaise Pascal, a quote. He was a physicist and a French physicist and wrote some religious writings. Actually, he was a very devout Christian, a very devout Christian. A lot of scientists were, incidentally, if you didn't know that. You know, a lot of framers of our Constitution and founders of our nation, writers of the Bill of Rights and people that fought the Revolution, our presidents that started this nation were very, very radical Christians, Bible thumpers. Are you with me? They formed the Constitution on the basis of Scripture. They formed laws on the basis of Scripture. They formed a Bill of Rights on the basis of acknowledging God. And they had Scriptures for what they did. In fact, if you read their writings and their letters, some of them were ministers. Hallelujah. I mean, the idea that this nation was not a Christian nation was formed is just an absolute, complete absence of any sense of history whatsoever. If you know anything about this country and our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, go back and study it. But here is a very intelligent man, Blaise Pascal, and he said about prayer, he said God instituted prayer for three reasons. He said, first of all, that we to give his creatures or to impart to us the dignity of causality. That's some nice big words there. But to let us be a part of what's going on. You're not a puppet on a string, just waiting for God to do things. God is using you to do things. Are you with me? And when we pray, we're part of his big plan here, of using us to do things. I love that. That's why he said, you pray, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told you to pray. He said, you pray for one another that you may be healed. Are you out there? He didn't say, I'll pray. He said, you pray. You pray. So we're a part of what God does, he does through us. And that gives us some dignity. We're not pawns on a chessboard that God's moving around. We have a will and a choice, and we can choose to side up with God. And so he gives us this dignity. Prayer is an awesome thing that lets us be a part and a builder together with God, a worker together with God. And secondly, he said, to teach us from where we derive virtue or power. In other words, prayer reminds us every time that when we have a need, we run to God. Are you with me? We need some more power, we'll go to God. We need peace, we go to God. Prayer teaches us that. God gave us prayer so we could be a part of what he's doing and have this kind of dignity. That we're not in a box, we're not trapped, we're not slaves. Are you with me? We actually rule and reign with him when you think about it. But then we also are reminded we got to get to God. Oh, man, all this stuff going on, we got to get to God. We got to pray. Amen? We got to pray about this. Oh, man, did you hear about this? Yeah, we got to pray. Man, I was not feeling so well. I got to get to God. I got to pray. Are you with me? And then third, in the process, which I think is so good, to make us earn other virtues by our efforts. It's amazing that when you go to God to get a need met, you get to be a part of what he's doing. You're reminded that you have to go to him to get it. But you always walk away with more than what you just asked for. Isn't that true? Your whole nature's changed. Your character's changed. Your personality's changed. Your outlook has changed. So you don't just get what you asked for. You do get that. But you're being molded and changed by prayer. Prayer will make you different. Make you a different person. Make you a better person. Make you more like Christ. Amen? So you get other virtues along with that. I thought that was so insightful that Blaise Pascal saw that about prayer. Hallelujah. Anyway, Ephesians 3, found it? Ephesians 3rd chapter, starting in the 14th verse. Again, Paul says, for this cause, I love that, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about this great plan of salvation, if you read prior to that. And because of this great plan, great love of God and so on, for this cause, for the cause of Christ, the only cause that counts. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, 15th verse says, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love that. I bow my knees. I look to God. I ask of him. I submit to him. because of this. Because what I know about God, what I understand about God is what Paul's saying. What I understand about his plan of salvation, his love for mankind, the cause of Christ brings me to my knees to call on him, to look to him, to submit to him, to ask him. That's why I pray, because I know God cares. Are you with me? I pray because I know God's interested. I pray because everything he's shown me, everything he's done, his whole plan of salvation proves to me that he is concerned about my life. Hallelujah. And I pray when things happen. I come to God because I know he's listening, he's watching, he's looking. He's intent on his throne. You're not going to have to holler 3 or 4 times to get his attention when you pray. His attention is already on you. You know, I think we have that idea that if we holler loud enough, you know, if we just scream enough, and finally he'll hear us, you know. No, he hears us when we pray. You need to get the picture, and I need to get the picture, of God sitting on his throne, leaning over, looking at us with his hand on his ear, waiting for you to call. Looking all over the earth for someone that'll call and cry out to him. He watches over his word to perform it. Will someone stand on my word here? Will you do it? Will you do it today? Will you believe me today? I'd like to fix that. Man, I wish you'd call on me. You're not going to bring anything to God's attention. He already knows what's going on in your life. He knows where you are. He sees you. He cares. You're not going to con him into helping you. He already wants to help you. Are you out there? He's already said that over and over. He's proven that. Well, how do I know? Jesus died. That's how we know. He came. He died. He rose again. He already proved his love to us. Well, I wish he'd do something. He already did something. He sent Jesus already. He's already come. He's already rose again. He's already paid the price. Well, what's he waiting on? You. Me. He's waiting on us to pray. He's waiting on us to call with some kind of faith, trust, some kind of belief that he cares. Wow. He's waiting on us to call. And he says this. He said, "For this cause I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven, the whole family of heaven and earth is named." How many times did Jesus try to bring across and get across and drill into us that God is our Father? God is not just the Father of those in heaven. He's the Father of us here on earth. He is my Father and your Father. I may not be in heaven yet, but my daddy is in heaven, and I am still his child. And of him, the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's not talking about Jesus here. He's talking about the Father. Are you with me? I know the name that we bear is the name Jesus. I understand. But in context, he's saying, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." In other words, God is the Father of all of us. And just as a father cares, or should, he cares for us. You are part of a family. You're not a part of a system of rules. Are you out there? Although there are principles, and there are consequences to actions, I understand all that. I understand that if you do good, you're going to be blessed. You sin, you're going to be cursed. I understand all that. But see, this is more than a religion or a system of rules. This is a family. And when I pray, I'm praying to my Father, not to my Maker, to the man upstairs. I'm not pulling out the good book, talking to the man upstairs, the big guy. No, I'm talking to my Father. And this is his word. you people put labels on everything. You know, the good book, the man upstairs, and you're ready to meet your Maker. You know, those kind of things. Oh, come on. Jesus talked about the Father. He said, "After this manner, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's saying, make a difference here. Pray to God, your Father, and make a difference here in this earth. God wants you to make a difference, and prayer makes a difference. And if you'll pray to your Father which is in heaven, his will in heaven will be done in this earth. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy, or holy be thy name, to be honored and worshipped is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You pray his kingdom to come. You pray his will to be done, because his kingdom will not come and his will not be done unless someone prays. Oh, wow. How important is prayer? Pretty important. Because this is the plan, and for this cause I bow my knees, because this is the plan. The plan is that you pray and I pray. And I don't know how much you pray, but you ought to be praying a lot. I don't know how many things you pray about, but you ought to be praying about everything. Are you out there? Hallelujah. I know once a week Mo prays. I know Mo. I'm just kidding. I know Mo prays all the time. But I know always, that's right. That's what the Bible says, pray always. I know at the food ministry, he prays for, 100 families a week just on Tuesdays. Hallelujah. And he prays before he gets here, I'm sure. Are you with me? And after he leaves, and all during the week. And we ought to pray all the time. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. I'll pray about everything. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Because that's the way God chooses to do things. You say, are you trying to tell me that God needs us? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you that's what God says. I didn't say that. God said that. You mean you try and tell me that God won't do something if I don't pray? No, I'm not telling you that. God's telling you that. That's what the Bible says. Are you saying he can't? Well, he chose not to. I don't know if he can't, but he won't. He said he wouldn't till you pray. Even in the Old Testament, he was looking for somebody to pray. He told Isaiah, he said, I looked, I searched the land, I tried to find someone that was standing in the gap, and I couldn't find anybody. Someone to make up the hedge. He said, I didn't want to judge them, I didn't want to bring that the consequences of their sin. I wanted to bless them, but they wouldn't turn, and nobody would pray, and I searched for people. I couldn't find a man anywhere. Why is he looking? Was he looking for a man? Why didn't he just not judge him? Because there's consequences to your action. Unless you repent of it or someone prays for you, there's judgment. Because God works through us. Moses stopped him from wiping out a whole nation because he prayed. He interceded. Numbers 14, go read it. This helping anybody? You don't like what's going on in your life. You don't like your plight in life. You don't like the deck or the cards that were dealt you, as we say. Well, you can turn it around. You can change. Charlie Brown? You don't like everybody picking on you. You can do something about it. You can pray. You can believe God. You can change the situation. You say, well, why didn't God do something about that? Well, he's waiting on you to pray, waiting on you to call. And believe when you pray, to call in faith. So, he's not just God, he's our Father. Hallelujah. The 16th verse. Notice what it says. He's praying now of, the Father of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Anybody need inner strength? Pray for it. Believe God. Stand in faith. Call on God to strengthen you with might by his Spirit. He doesn't strengthen you by circumstances. He strengthens you by his Spirit. He doesn't strengthen you by crisis, by tragedy. He strengthens you by his Spirit. You say, well, I was in the middle of that tragedy and I called on God and he gave me strength and I came out a better person, so he sent that tragedy to make me stronger. No, he didn't. He sent the Holy Spirit to make you stronger, and thank God you prayed, because a lot of people go through tragedy and never pray. And they don't get any better. You say, well, this thing happened and I had to get down to my lowest before I finally turned to God. Well, you didn't have to get down to your lowest. That was your own dumb fault. If you had to wait till the worst thing in the world happened to you before you turned to God, you could have turned to God any time. But thank God, even when the worst thing happened to you, he was still there. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Thank God his mercy was still there. But that thing that happened to you, well, it had to happen. I never would have come. Well, whose fault was that? That wasn't God's fault. Well, God killed Uncle Tom so Aunt Bessie would get saved. God doesn't kill anybody. He didn't kill Uncle Tom so Aunt Bessie would get saved. Uncle Tom didn't have to die so Aunt Bessie could get saved. You know who died so Aunt Bessie could get saved? Jesus. And any time in Aunt Bessie's life, she could have accepted Jesus. She didn't have to wait till Uncle Tom died. Are you out there? Strength comes from the Spirit. If I had enough tragedy in my life, I'll be a man of God. No, you won't. No, you. If you pray enough and believe God enough and stand on the Word enough, you will. I just love kicking over sacred cows, religious sacred cows. What does it say here? He says that God will strengthen you by His Spirit in the inner man. On what basis? On the basis of His riches. Because I'm such a good person. No, on the basis of His riches. Because of what I've done. No. That God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Lord, I'm praying for Mo because he's such a good man that you would just bless him because he's been good, and God, because he just he looks good, and Lord, give him strength because he deserves it. No. And he may be pretty good, and he may look okay. That's debatable. But that's not, no. I'm praying for Mo that God would strengthen him according to God's riches and glory, yes, with strength from the Spirit in his inner man. Because God made that available. Not because he earned it, because he deserves it. Are you with me? And the same thing for me. I don't pray God gives me strength because I'm so good. Give me strength because God's so good. I'm not tapping anything I got. I'm tapping into what he has. This is according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Y'all getting this? Good stuff. What do you want? Oh, got to amplify it. Let me amplify it. First, I got to amplify the words here. Ephesians, down there on the bottom. Thank you. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power to the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Well, I like that. That's good stuff. Amen. Well, you say what I need to pray. That's why you need to pray right there. You say what I need to pray for. That's what you need to pray for right there. Amen. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you go through life and things hit you sideways and one up one side, down the other, and you get sucker punched and get your knees knocked out from under you, your legs knocked out from under you, and you get offended and you get hurt and you get run over, and, you know, and we're just so special. And you want strength. You need inner strength is what you need. If you're going to live this life, you're going to have some inner strength. You don't need tough skin. You need inner strength. Because he goes on here and talks about the love of God. I don't want to be any harder. I don't want my skin any harder. I want my inner strength, my inner man strengthened. Hallelujah. Okay. Wow. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man on the basis of his riches. The 20th century New Testament says, in proportion to the wealth of his glory. Man, I like that. That is good. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, if we will not look to someone or something stronger than ourselves for help, then who will we look to? I mean, come on. I have to realize that God's bigger than I am, stronger than I am, better than I am. And if I don't look to him for help, then who am I going to look to for help? Come on. God wants to help you, and he's got help to give. I basically am need, and he is supply. And when we get together, need disappears, and supply takes over. Amen? Now, what I'm talking about is in the natural. Spiritually speaking, I'm not need. Are you with me? But we're talking about getting that spirit revved up, you know, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Praying does that. Praying gets you spirit conscious instead of flesh conscious. It gets you aware and operating in the Spirit, out of your spirit instead of out of the natural. Gets you totally unaffected by what goes on in the world and totally controlled and influenced and affected by what's going on in the Spirit, hallelujah, from heaven. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, basically, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're under the influence of something, it's pretty obvious. That's what we call driving under the influence. When someone gets a used to be a DWI, they call it DUI now. Under the influence, they act differently. They don't have full control of their body, as it were, and their mind and their words. You often see these people arrested on TV, you know, and they're drunk and or doped up or whatever. They don't make any sense. They can't make sense out of sentences. They can't walk a straight line because they're influenced by what they've been taking into them, see? Well, now God wants us to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. See, so we're not so bitter and we're not so touchy. Are you with me? But we're just flowing in love and we're not so fearful and so doubtful and discouraged and dismayed when things, bad reports come because, hey, we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. You know, we're ruled by our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, instead of by our flesh and our mind. So I want to be that way. Don't you want to be that way? I want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean I'm wild and crazy all the time and just flowing in the gifts constantly. I mean, we believe in the gifts. We want the gifts. But it means I'm flowing in faith and I'm flowing in love. That's the Spirit. Woo. Amen. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Man, I love that. You know, how comfortable is Jesus in our home? That's a good question. Would he be comfortable sitting down with you on the couch and watching the shows you watch? If he likes game shows, yeah, that's good. Yeah, but I mean, think about it. I mean, would he be comfortable sitting down reading the books you read? Would he be comfortable sitting down with the friends that you hang around with? That's a good question. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that we need to pray that we live a life that Jesus would just be at home with. Isn't that right? That he would just be comfortable with the way I talk, the things I allow and don't allow in my home. Are you with me? Would he be just right at home, you know? You say, well, I think Jesus is comfortable with me no matter what I do. Well, you know, there are things that displease him. I know that. There are things that grieve him. Things that just flat out make him angry. If I read my Bible correctly. If you got a Bible, I got one. I've read it. I've read it more than once. Maybe you ought to read it a few more times yourself. But you'll find out that there are things that God's very comfortable with. There's things he's not comfortable with. Are you with me? You can create a nice atmosphere for him to settle down in. In fact, the Bible says he inhabits, lives in the praises of his people. So if you're not going to talk about God and what he's doing, you're just going to talk negative and you're going to talk doubt and unbelief and you're going to talk discouragement and fear, you know what? He's not going to feel right at home. That's not going to be a habitat or somewhere he wants to inhabit. He inhabits the praises of his people. He doesn't inhabit the negativity of his people. In fact, the thing that angered God all through the Old Testament was negativity, lack of faith, lack of trust in God, fear, discouragement, dismay, and people who just would not trust God. I don't want to be that. I want to trust God. I don't want to get in fear. Now, I do get in fear. You get in fear. But I can repent. You can repent. Get back on track. Amen? I don't want an awkward moment with me and Jesus. Hello. And too many times I'd have to say there are some awkward moments. You know, I got in doubt, I got in fear, and I'm sorry, Jesus. I got to trust you, I got to believe you. I'm sorry for even getting in doubt over that deal. Hello, forgive me, and come on, sit over here a little closer, Jesus. I don't want you scooting the other end of the couch. I want him to be at home, and that's what he's saying here, that Christ would dwell, make his home in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded, I love it, rooted and grounded in love. See, now you got to admit now, I know he loves us, but there are things that we do that don't please him. And there are things that we do that do please Him. And that's what we're talking about. I want to do what pleases Him. I do. I really do. And without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him. So my negativity doesn't make God comfortable. It doesn't endear me to Him. My faith endears me to Him. My trust in Him. I mean, for a child to act like daddy doesn't care, that hurts daddy. Are you with me? It doesn't make a daddy feel good to think that the child does not trust his daddy and doesn't think his daddy's going to take care of him and feed him. It really makes him feel good when he's proud of his daddy and he looks to his daddy. He knows daddy's going to take care of him. And boy, I tell you, it starts thundering outside and the little kid runs up and grabs his daddy around the leg and holds on to him because he knows he's safe in daddy's arms. Are you with me? That pleases any daddy. I don't care who you are. So what do you do when it starts thundering and lightning? Are you with me? Do you fall apart or fall to pieces or you run to daddy? Run to daddy. Trust God. Pray. Seek His face. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it says rooted and grounded in love. Well, that's where we really get grounded and rooted is when we determine we're going to love. We're going to operate in the love of God, and we're going to love people. We're not going to hate people. We're going to stand for righteousness and holy living, but we're not going to hate people. We're going to love people. We don't hate sinners. We don't hate lost people. We don't hate homosexuals. Don't hate homosexuals. You know, I don't believe in homosexual marriage because there is no such thing. In reality, there is no such thing as homosexual marriage. That's not even a, that's just a oxymoron. It doesn't even make sense. What are you talking about? I mean, you can change language all you want to, but it doesn't change the truth. Now, does that mean I hate homosexuals? No. Any homosexual that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can be saved. If they will come to Him and repent of their sin, just like anybody repents of their sin. Any adulterer that repents of their sin can be saved. Are you with me? I mean, we're talking about sin. And when you repent of sin, you can be saved. And you can come to Jesus and you can get over your sin. And to continue in homosexuality is sin, and it's wrong, and it grieves God, and it's not good. But God doesn't hate the person. To continue in adultery is sin, and it grieves God, and it hurts God. Are you with me? And the cause of Christ. But any person can turn. God doesn't hate the person. To continue in lying. Are you with me? That's all wrong, sin in one sense. But continue in sin is not right, whatever it is. Are you out there? So the answer is to come to God, and we as the church need to walk in love and love people. Hallelujah. Hate sin. I will always stand up here and talk about what is right and just and holy. Listen, that is one of my jobs as a minister. You ought to read the Bible. It talks about priests. It says they need to separate between what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Between the vile and the clean. And woe be unto them that call evil good and good evil. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Oh, my, I don't want to be that. I'm not going to tell you just everything's okay, just do whatever you want to. That's wrong. I love you too much to tell you that. Because that's like telling you go ahead and jump off the roof. You're not going to hit the ground. Listen, you're going to break your leg. Are you out there? And I want to tell you don't jump off that roof. And I want to warn you not to jump off that roof. Not because I hate you or judge you, because I love you. I love you too much to just let you do anything you want to and say everything's okay. I love you too much. That's the love of God. Amen? But, see, I correct in love, and that's the way we ought to do. Correct people in love, not judgmentally. There's a way to do it right, and there's a way to do it wrong. What's happened is we've heard it wrong so long we don't even do it at all. But no, we need to correct. We just need to do it in love. Amen? Praise God. Well, so he says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, what a prayer. I'm going to have to pick this up next week. I got too many more things I want to say, and I'm never going to get through tonight. But it's very plain. If you want to know God, you got to know love. You got to walk in love. If you're not determined to walk in love, you're never really going to know God. You know Scripture. You can quote Scripture. You can quote dates and history, and you can quote names and talk about culture and customs, and you can quote words out of the Bible, and you can remember the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but you really never know God till you know love. Ultimately, you got to know Jesus. I understand you know Jesus and you know the Father. But when you find out, what got me saved was the love of God. What got me saved was not judgment. It was not hate. It was not those things. It was just that I couldn't fight the love of God. I couldn't fight it. He loved me, you know. I couldn't get around that. I just couldn't get around it. So basically, I just laid down my arms of rebellion and quit fighting God. Gave up. Amen. I just gave up. Laid it all down and said, here I am, Lord. I quit fighting. I quit running. Here I am. And the love of God constrained me. The love of God's like the hound of heaven on your trail and will not let go, will not relent till you give in. He loves you whether you like it or not. Hallelujah.